Mark Zuckerberg tries to convince Congress that Libra should exist. I mean, maybe? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg was in Washington yesterday trying to keep the dream of the global digital currency called Libra alive. It is a tempting vision. Send money to anyone in the world with a tap on a smartphone. But when Facebook laid out its vision for Libra, saying that an independent association would control it, that it wouldn't get data from its usage, and that it would be just one of dozens of partners, well, no pun intended, but not everyone has been buying it. Regulators, for one. And recently, key partners in the financial industry decided not to participate. Lisa Ellis is an analyst at MoffittNathanson. She says, at a minimum, Libra will have to win back partners like Visa, PayPal, or Stripe if it's going to survive.
I guess I wouldn't say, oh, because they pulled out, Libra is now completely dead on arrival. But I would say eventually they need to be on board if this thing is going to have a fighting chance of success. And the reason for that is because setting up payment systems is extremely difficult, both from a technical perspective, from a risk management perspective, and from a regulatory perspective. And there are very, very few companies on the planet that know how to enter a country and effectively set up a payment system. And those are just normal payment systems. Doing that with a cryptocurrency, you know, just increases the complexity even higher.
So then you have the Facebook question. How much of the very real challenges that Libra has faced are about concerns about the proposals and, you know, the structure and the logistics? And how much are Facebook?
From my perspective, the Libra project has come under such regulatory scrutiny, has everything to do with the fact that it's Facebook, meaning there's hundreds of other cryptocurrency projects going on all over the world, many of which are as grandiose in their goals and designs, and none of them are getting thrown in front of Congress. The level of regulatory scrutiny is very premature for the maturity of the project, but I suppose understandable, at least from a political perspective, given all of the scrutiny on Facebook.
In his congressional testimony, Mark Zuckerberg raised the possibility that if America doesn't innovate on digital currency, that China will. How real a threat is that?
And the specific risk he's highlighting is that many of the unbanked and underbanked that would be the initial users potentially of something like Libra, you know, are in regions of the world where, you know, if there's not a US dollar backed stable coin available for their use and there's a different digital currency, they, you know, and maybe it comes out of China, they might just go use that one instead. Does it have to be Libra specifically? No, but by its design and as evidenced by the fact that Facebook was able to get the 25 to 30 companies to even raise their hands to say that they're interested in the initiative is indicative of the fact that the design of Libra, at least on paper, is as good as anything out there for use for consumer payments.
So it sounds like you're saying we do need a Libra-like cryptocurrency that is a global payments system.
Yeah, I see personally see, yes, real utility in cryptocurrencies as an alternative to fiat currency, where fiat currencies are unstable or suffer from very high inflation, meaning it's like the use case of the digital gold, so to speak. You know, there are something like, you know, 80 countries that already use either the dollar or the euro as a substitute or link their currency to the dollar or the euro. It would be those types of countries. I absolutely see utility in this use case for a digital form of currency.
There are a number of criticisms, right? Or a number of concerns or a number of things that people would like to clarify about this, not all related to Facebook. So can you help us sort of break down like what have been some of the sticking points for either regulators or partner companies or both?
Yeah, so understandably, probably the first and foremost concern amongst regulators is related to anti-money laundering, terrorist activity, ensuring that any cryptocurrency system doesn't end up being a conduit for illegal activity or an enabler of illegal activity. And then the second issue that's been raised is or questions is just related to monetary policy. Anytime you're talking about a cryptocurrency, which is dollar linked or linked to any of the big global reserve currencies, dollar, euro, or yen, you know, then that raises questions around what is the interplay or the relationship between that cryptocurrency and the underlying fiat currencies it's tied to, and, you know, how will they interact with, you know, with the setting of monetary policy.
Right. This was always going to be really difficult, right? I mean, this was always a big idea.
Yeah, certainly. This is in the category of very futuristic, very experimental, I think of it as a futuristic technology experiment that you would certainly hope that our big U.S. tech companies do and are, you know, have these, you know, long-term visions and set massive aspirations and are able to convene the ecosystem to work together against these fantastic visions for how the future might be different. But like any futuristic mm-hmm. experiment, I mean, the likelihood of any of those is always very, very low. And in this case, when you're dealing with one that mixes both technology and finance together, that makes it that much more difficult.
Lisa Ellis is an analyst at MoffettNathanson. For what it's worth, China is reportedly already working on a state-backed cryptocurrency that will work with WeChat and Alipay, which are already basically national digital payment networks in China. And now for some related links. You can read more about the rumors about China's state-backed crypto at our website, marketplacetech.org. And at least one analyst firm wrote recently that Libra is, in fact, the best hope for the U.S. to compete in developing a digital currency for emerging markets. But like we said, Libra isn't the only option out there. Although one new idea isn't any less controversial. This week, President Trump's former Federal Reserve nominee, Stephen Moore, announced a dollar-backed cryptocurrency called Frax that is actually intended to compete with central banks, which I think we can all agree is a bit of a turnabout. Frax currently doesn't have any outside investors. It does have a co-founder from the tech industry. And Moore told Fortune magazine that he wants the currency to reduce the need for centralized monetary policy, which ironically is much closer to the original vision for Bitcoin. Moore, it should be noted, withdrew his candidacy for the Federal Reserve. Critics complained about his history of inappropriate jokes. Economists questioned his commitment to the gold standard. Maybe Frax will have the last laugh. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.